All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, you and I are both mavens of horror.
I don't know what makes one qualify as a maven, but I am an enjoyer / appreciator.
People are calling you a maven in the group chat.
Oh, just okay, letting cool. you know. All right, no. As long as I'm not the one saying it.
No. Yeah, it's not a self-applied nickname. So as horror fans, we're both fans of A24. Mm-hmm. And I was at the estate sale for A24, and I got a prop from their most recent hit, Talk to Me. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for Talk to Me. It looks real cool. It's a seance movie.
Ooh.
It's all the actors are extremely British, so you can't understand anything they say.
It's the subtitles.
I can't. It is going to be so. Everyone, I feel like, talks like that. And I'm not saying anything. It's British people. I just can't understand it because of my dumb American ears.
Right.
It's a subtitles movie. Mm-hmm. But I got the hand from Talk to Me that we use, and I've added it to my collection of hands here.
All right.
And you're gonna choose the one to shake. Most of these are attached to games, but one of them is attached to it's the Talk to Me hand. So it causes evil to rise from hell, that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. So do I just reach into this sack you have?
No. It's a hall of hands.
Oh, it's a hall of hands.
Yeah. All go right. through this gigantic wooden heavy door.
Okay.
Into the hall of hands.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, it's they're just like sticking right out of the wall, like it's a blooper
and the
team
ceiling.
Game. Yeah. It's yeah. the thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's just random, I can just pick whatever one's closest. I'm not going to fuck around with a stepladder here. So I'm just.
Sure.
I'm just going to grab this one.
God damn it. That's the Talk to Me hand.
Ah, no.
How'd you get it? Uh-oh. Watch your step. There's fire coming up under
this
the
floor. My whole day now.
I know. It's both of our days now. You fucked up. If you would have only just walked like two steps, we could have been playing, I don't know, California Truck Rally.
Yeah.
All right. Something's coming out of the portal on the ground.
Wait a minute. What is that? I think I recognize that. What is that?
No, it's Todd McFarland.
No.
We have a special guest this Adric Suffer.
We do have a special guest. I rigged something up.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering. Games is my wife, and every cyber deck is a blemish.
You should be kinder to your wife.
That was
or
Tintin.
To cyber deck. Yeah.
I should be crueler to cyber. My resolution is to be crueler to cyber deck and nicer to live.
I feel like we done wrote the book on cyber deck. We're the last people to have thought about it. Yeah,
entire cyber deck.
Right. This week it's a Gary pick. You brought this as pretext. It was an abject yes. suffering emergency, but we're talking about the Spawn game for Game Boy Color, the 1999 one made by Konami of all people.
I know. It's weird. It's a bonus. So I did this as a pretext, but like two things. One, I think as video game spokesman, we have a responsibility to keep up on Spawn. It's been, I think 2017 was our last Spawn episode. 6 years is too long before between spawns.
Spawn can get a lot, can get up to a lot in 6 years.
Yes. Spawn gets down to hell blazing and chaining and getting down to it. The other thing, we'll reveal the big reveal here in a moment, but I feel like dispensing with the game is good.
Yes, it is.
So I had a reason to do this. We'll talk about that. But this game is also funny and not bad. If you would have put a gun to my head and been like, Gary, are you going to enjoy the Game Boy Color Spawn game? I would have said no. But for Game Boy Color, this is kind of fun. It's okay.
It's super simple.
It is very simple.
Right? It's super simple. It is very easy. For me, it underlined what a weird system the Game Boy Color is, because this does feel and play like they added color, but it didn't change the overall design of like an early, you know, like a 1993 Game Boy beat 'em up, right?
With the problems of those, including like a very tall and lithe Spawn.
With just a completely vertical jump.
Yeah, Barbie proportions Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 7 foot tall, 130 pound Spawn.
Yeah.
If you can imagine such a thing. It reminds me a lot of, for Game Boy Advance, I played a lot of the superhero games on that, like the Spider-Man, Wolverine games and stuff, mm-hmm. that came out in that system, which are fun. Like, those are pretty good games. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of those, but a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Really vertical jump, really, really boring platforming through a very funny city with the most perplexing health system I've ever seen in my life. It gives you a system shock code depending on how many times you've been hit.
I don't know if that's a password or what it is. What it looks like is the like the measure count on a doll.
Yes.
Yeah.
It you have 4 digits in the upper left. 4 digits. You have 4 digits in the upper left. They start at 999. Mm-hmm. As you get hit, it's almost like a slot machine, but it's not random. They change into different digits.
Mm-hmm.
And it counts down because the top one is 999, but it doesn't count down in a way that makes sense.
No.
You know? And then you pick up Spawn icons, which will refill it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way to tell. It's one of the most counterintuitive health systems I've ever seen. Like, I don't know how much Spawn I have left. And then it's coupled with the fact that this game is very easy, so I didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, quit. I was like, okay, I understand Spawn. Yeah. I fought Clown and Overt Kill.
Same.
You know, it's time to move on. So that's really confusing. You have another UI element in the upper right that looks like containers to hold power-ups. And it wasn't until about two-thirds of the way through my play that I realized that if you hold down attack, that's your chain.
Uh-huh.
And that glows, and then you can whip your little chain out.
Which makes it even easier because that does like a little bit of seeking on it. So
yes.
If something is roughly above or below you, it'll like automatically seek out. And if it's not a boss, I found instantly kill whatever it hits.
Yes. And enemies all die in one, like 2 punches, 1 bullet or 2 mm-hmm. bullets anyway.
Yeah.
This was how I had to fight Overt Kill.
Yeah.
I would not have beaten Overt Kill without this.
What an awkward name for a
it's
being.
Awful man. It's awful. He's the Overt Kill, I think, is the guy that Rob Liefeld is drawing during the very famous Stan Lee roast Rob Liefeld thing. I think he's yeah. creating Overt Kill.
God, I love that.
It's really good. You know, but you know, I fought Clown. It has voice samples and stuff. And then my favorite bit is the graffiti in the game.
Yeah.
Which all of which is great.
It's like, it's very good. The second, I think it's on the screen that you spawn into. Just written on the wall behind you is just the word corn, like the band with a K, but not with the backward R.
No. It's a legally distinct corn. It's everywhere in the city. Corn owns this fucking town. That's the thing you have to know about Detroit, where Spawn is from. Corn fucking owns that town.
Which is weird because that's ICP turf.
I know. You know, before that, like Eminem, you know, mm-hmm. D12 turf, but no corn. And then there's ones that are like, shoot me.
Uh-huh.
And they're placed randomly. So you end up with sections where it says, shoot me corn. Which is great. Like, what a weird German Craigslist ad that is.
shoot me corn. There's also one that I made a note of that just says hate.
Yeah. And then you get like, shoot me hate, shoot me corn, you know, hate corn. Like, they kind of put them together in weird ways that don't make a lot of sense. It's really funny. It's a very funny game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was kind of into it, and it has a good reputation. Like, people like this game. It's a Konami game.
Weird.
Yeah. It could be way worse.
It's Konami, you know, Chicago, which didn't really make games. The thing. Yeah. The only other, this is the last thing they have on their, gamography or whatever it is. Most of it is actually like ports of other stuff. So like the Lethal Enforcers package for PlayStation, right?
Yeah, that kind of shit.
They're Broken Helix.
When I say this is, you know, good, this is like a 6 out of 10.
It's grading on the curve too. Yeah.
It's like a 5 or 6 out of 10 in terms of, you know, it's not very good, but it's better than you might expect and better than the PlayStation Spawn we played in 2017.
Yeah.
I think. So pretty funny. And it got me thinking about Spawn. I've been thinking about Spawn lately. And the reason I've been thinking about Spawn is, like, every once in a while, the internet rediscovers a thing that I remember from when I was younger, which is the Spawn cartoon.
Right.
Weirdly, from the 90s.
Yeah, from 1997 through 1999. Weirdly, an HBO show that when I saw it, it was re-airing on Toonami.
Yeah. A really big trailblazer to have an adult cartoon on HBO. Like, respect where it's due. For the cartoon, and the cartoon is well liked. I just want to throw that out there. Like, I am here to make fun of Spawn. I'm not here to make fun of fans of Spawn.
Yeah,
you know, the comic book shit I like is equally dorky, right? But the thing I am here to make fun in a mean way, and it's of the creator of Spawn, who, if you've never seen this before, and if you haven't, we're going to give you a gift during this episode. For some reason, only in the first season of the Spawn cartoon, there are 7 episodes. And Todd McFarlane introduces himself in a castle.
Yep.
It is a Crypt Keeper castle.
It is him inking a panel at the start with very, very ominous music that plays.
Yes.
And then he turns around and speaks in the most baffling voice you've ever heard.
It is. I love an unplaceable accent. We do a pan over his boxes, which say, like, you know, Todd's toys and stuff, because Todd McFarlane loves toys. But some of them just say, like, clown or violator parts. You can't just cruise over violator parts.
Please don't.
Yeah, that's, you know, I know what that means because I know who Violator is. But, you know, and then Spawn, after he inks, he turns around, does his accent. He presents you with a hypothetical question that is intended to make you identify with Spawn.
Yes.
Now, that's good. That just said on that, because I love that. I don't think of in your day-to-day life, Cole.
Right.
How often do you think of Spawn, or like, what would Spawn do? Or are you like, man, I'm in a real Spawn of a situation?
It's one of those failures of compassion that all of us fall into every day. It's it is a failure to acknowledge that this is water. Everybody is fighting a battle that you are not aware of.
Yes.
Right. And sometimes that battle is against Malbolgia and the forces of hell. So yeah, you know, maybe I've assumed the worst about Spawn's intentions.
Yeah, it's very difficult not to. You know, you look at him and he looks like a demon. But as Todd is going to teach us, not all is what it seems.
No, you know? I look at him and I think, man, your cloak / cape does not actually, it doesn't adhere to the laws of conservation of mass. I have so many questions that I'm thinking of on my own that take me off of the very human concerns of one Al Simmons.
Yes. Detroit-based mercenary and killer who was faced with a difficult choice that we can only pray we never get faced with.
Yeah.
I love when you look at the Spawn Wikipedia thing, you see the original design for Spawn, designed by a teenage McFarlane in 1977.
No.
Like, keeping the fucking dream alive.
Spawn cannot be older than REM.
It's also, if you look at that picture, at a glance, it just looks like a kid's superhero drawing. Zoom in on it, though. Spawn is 100% digging something out of his ass.
Oh, yeah.
It's unmistakable.
Yep.
He is pulling like, that's where he keeps his wallet in his suit.
Right. Yeah. The plug came unseated. Yeah.
Yes. He keistered his wallet for Spawn reasons.
What I love is the little skulls at the top of his boots. And I can only say that he's wearing hammer boots, which are very high boots that flare out in order to accommodate hammer pants, which are tucked into his boots so rats can't get up there.
I would love to get little skulls at the top of my shoes like that. You know, he looks kind of like Magneto mixed with the Prowler.
You know what this is? The huge energy here of I just saw Star Wars and I think Darth Vader looked cool.
There's definitely that. This is also every character I've ever created in, like, City of Heroes.
Yes.
Or Freedom Force. Like, this is one of the templates for that.
Yeah.
He eventually became this non-Euclidean cape guy. And one of the things I respect about Todd McFarlane and Spawn, is Todd McFarlane is a true believer.
Yeah.
This Todd McFarlane arc I've been on recently started, you know, previous to this clip going around that we're going to talk about, with Wired does like Ask interviews. Have you ever seen those on YouTube?
Yeah.
It'll be like, you know, pneumonologist, like, you know, answers your lung questions.
Yeah. It's a and it's pulling from Twitter. Sometimes it's stars, yes. You know, like being asked about roles or what have you. Sometimes it is it is like a subject matter expert, you know, kind of thing. Those are entertaining snacks. I have indulged in those.
And I've like learned stuff. There's two of them with a really charming mortician.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's interesting that mortuary sciences are interesting.
Yes.
There's comic support. There's a comic one, and they decided to have Todd McFarlane in there. And Todd McFarlane, like, as a guy.
I love that you're hitting the D on that so hard. There's no D. It's McFarlane.
Oh, yeah. McFarland. McFarlane. Todd. He has never let go of anything. Mm-hmm. He is still the same dude. He takes this stuff very fucking seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where, like, I don't turn my nose up at Todd McFarlane's art. Art. Like, he draws a good Spider-Man. You know, it was of its time. That's all fine.
You know? Like, his toys are not to my taste, but it would be very misguided to say that there is not craftsmanship displayed in those.
And innovation. Yeah. Like, that was a big deal when those came out. That kind of very hyper-detailed.
Yeah.
You know, kind of toy was changed that industry. Like, how much you care about that industry is up to you. Yeah. But that industry, which is big, got absolutely sea changed by this person.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's got a personality on him for a 62-year-old fucking man, you know, that is just incredible. And around the internet, went to this thing, these intros that we're gonna talk about, and we're going to play them all. It's 7 minutes of content that I have been walking around listening to like a song.
It does have a music bed under it. Like, there is like a weird like spoken word. Like, all you would need to do is find the right beat to put under this.
Yes. Yes. This like club mix, like Spawn season 1 episode 3 club mix. Dust Brothers explosion.
Yeah. And like, it feels like it's a little bit late for this kind of, for this style of thing. But like, if you're picturing, like, okay, if you're not going and seeking out this video, which I recommend you doing because the production on it is very, very charming.
We're only giving you part of the thing. And if you've got anything, you know, if you're anything like me, you will want more of this. Like, listening to this once will not be enough for you.
Right.
And it's okay if you're not, that's fine. You know, your life is short. But it is very special to me.
Yes. But like, an analog would be, you know, just it's just the kind of thing that happened. I feel like in the 90s, you know, those Jonathan Frakes, like what's that, Unsolved Mysteries or whatever? Like,
Beyond Belief.
You know, it's fake. I made it. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, Beyond Belief. Or being parodied in Dark Place, right?
Yeah, very, very Garth Marenghi, very Crypt Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I want this aesthetic to come back so badly. If we ever do a Duckfeed TV show,
yeah,
like, let's say, you know, life changes in a very different way, and IFC is like, what if you guys want to do a TV show?
Okay.
The intro has to be going through our haunted manse.
Oh, yes.
Past all of our game stuff covered in cobwebs to, like, an actionably Danny Elfman, you know, score until it gets to us, and we're just like, surprised? You shouldn't be. it's the Dungeon Mister from the Dragon Strike video as well. Whatever you call this thing, it's my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I pig and shit for this.
Yeah, I just gothic presenter is what I would call this. Not like capital G goth, like, you know, the Cure or whatever. I'm talking about, like, you know, just this style, the very harsh lighting, the fog. Yeah, it is 100% my shit.
It's also, real quick, as a tiny little pre-chaser before we kind of praise this guy and everything, he does seem a little bit like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
His section on his Wikipedia for lawsuits makes him seem extremely petty. Like, he had a buddy named Al Simmons who he took the name for Spawn, who published his biography as The Art of Being Spawn. And McFarlane sued him.
What?
And then he also ended up, originally Neil Gaiman wrote one issue of Spawn and created a bunch of characters.
Okay.
Including Angela, who is the Spawn breakout. Angela got comics for a long time. Okay. What a horrible superhero name.
Yeah.
Medieval Spawn and Cagliostro are the three creations of Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
And Todd McFarlane, they split money for like a couple years.
All right.
Until eventually Todd McFarlane's like, no, that's work for hire. And just kind of changed it and said he wanted all the money for it. And Neil Gaiman had to like team up to sue him.
Yeah.
He's part of the reason why Miracle Man has never come back into to print, which is, if you're a comics wonk, that's a thing. Okay. It's one of Alan Moore's first like deconstruction things. It's an excellent comic. It has been in like weird legal purgatory for a very long time.
That's comics, baby.
It's petty ass right shit.
Yeah, petty fucking over the creator of character shit. Yeah.
Yes. Which he's doing as like an independent, you know, creator. Like he angrily tells his story multiple times during that Wired thing. About how he wanted to start, you know, Image and move away from being like work for hire. Mm-hmm. And then it sucks to see him turn around and just
immediately do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a horrible lesson in the art of power. The funniest lawsuit is he named a character after this hockey player. He named a mobster Tony Twist, and that's a real hockey player.
Okay.
And he made the mobster like a gangster pedophile, philanderer.
Oh, geez.
And then Tony Twist sued the shit out of him.
Of course.
The jury found him damages $15 million on appeal. Still out of court for $5 million, but that's still a lot of money to be drawn as a cartoon philanderer.
Let's see here. After this incident, Twist interviewed the Spawn animated series. Twist viewed the Spawn animated series. He subsequently remarked, I'm in pink thong underwear, smoking a cigar, ordering the kidnapping of a child while two women are naked on the couch making love to each other. I obviously don't want any part of that. Even if I was a good guy, I wouldn't have participated.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, on one hand, that's his parents' fault for giving him such a badass name.
Yeah, he sounds real cool. It's either that or he's gonna be in like a second wave ska band. He's gonna, you know, play the bongos for madness. But the can you imagine you wake up one day and like you pick up a Spawn comic and there's just Cole Ross, the heroin pusher?
It's the police cops problem, right?
And you'd be like, hey, Todd.
Yeah, and what's that's the end of that chapter.
And he would say something you could never understand. He'd take a big handful of marbles, put them in his mouth, and try to answer. And then, like, you wouldn't understand a thing he said.
Earn a career of Spawn.
Yeah. Would you do that? Spawn had to. Like, he acts like a man, like a French philosopher's in a salon experiment. Like, what if a man could only do what Spawn would do? But it's a self-creating prophecy for it. Like, you know, it's this weird time loop thing, but he does behave as if he is in these like morality plays. It's like Liar, Liar, you know, or something like that. Yes, man.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. So anywho, we're going to play these intros for everybody's enjoyment.
So we're gonna do the first one here. I left the audio, like I left the intro audio on for the first one.
Yeah, because it's worth hearing. It's also worth noting, I want to give you credit, Cole. In the Zencast we're using right now, it just says Gary, Todd McFarlane, and Cole Ross on the voice, which was very fun. That's a very good joke. So imagine Evil Castle, we're panning past boxes, you know.
We're getting into him, you know, inking. It's gonna sound like somebody scratching a beard.
It's good inking again. Credit where it's due.
What would you do if at the moment of death a voice from the darkness offered you the chance to live again?
The very moment of death. All right,
so I'm dying and a voice from the darkness says, would you like to live again? My first instinct would be to think about it.
But the problem is, I mean, we're going to see the rest of the scenario here.
Give you the chance to live again. Have your answer. There's no time to think about it. Your heart beat away from flatlining. Quick, what's the answer?
Hey, man, can you climb off my dick?
Malbolgia.
Hey, Malbolgia, your refusal to plan is not my problem here.
this could have been an email, Melville. Like, yeah. So I think I would say yes with no additional context.
Yeah, yeah. Another go around. But also, like, how am I dying here? Am I 90 years old?
Yes. Right?
Like, there's a bunch of stuff. Like, you're assuming a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah. And again, it's because we haven't, what Todd's lesson here is that we have not put ourselves properly in the shoes of Spawn.
Yes.
The boots, okay. The player boots, the hammer boots. Yes.
The hammer skull boots.
Yes. Deanter. I'm Todd McFarlane, and I created Spawn.
I'm Todd McFarlane, and I created Spawn.
It's kind of like it's Chicago very, Canadian.
It's very Chicago. Yeah. You drop him alongside the super fans.
Oh,
you,
my God. Da Spawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Malbolgia.
Da Vindicator. Da Clown.
McFarlane, and I created Spawn. I hope you'll consider the question I've just posed, because a man named Al Simmons didn't. When the question got popped on him, he signed like some stupid rookie in blood.
Some stupid, okay.
So
you know,
here's the thing too. These are so clearly not written. The word choice in these is one of my favorite parts. Like he signed like some stupid rookie in blood. It's not the coolest way you could say that, man. For being a crypt keeper in a manse.
Yeah, yeah. There's a real mismatch here. You know, it's my first season of dying.
Yeah. I love. I really also love that he's like presenting this hypothetical that he wants us to think about, and then immediately goes, "Well, Spawn was presented with this," and at no point does he break kayfabe as if like. Uh-huh. This is a parable to him. This is the same thing as him like teaching us about like, oh, this is actually a thing that the 300 Spartans had to do. Like he's citing history.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's so good.
This is what Spawn had. Okay, so I have to be in the exact same situation as Spawn. All right.
Yes.
I can kind of get what he's saying. I don't know. Something that seeps into this is the fact that for somebody who is making like this badass, you know, heaven and hell story, he really seems to believe in heaven and hell and has this extremely like kind of traditional morality around it.
Yes.
There's really no subversion here. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no subversion. This is a straight fucking putt.
Yeah.
To the stuff.
Yeah.
Sign like some stupid rookie in blood. See. Al had qualities he didn't even know he had, a special kind of wiring that Malbolgia the devil looks for.
So do I have that too?
I suppose so. If not, you wouldn't get the voice.
Okay.
Is the implication, I think. I also really like Malbolgia.
Malbolgia. Like,
he doesn't get the L in there, like the you know, Gia. There's no G. It's not Malbolgia.
Malbolgia, but it's not just Malbolgia. It's Malbolgia the devil.
Yeah, more than a devil.
You know, I don't want anybody to think that we are making fun of speech impediments here.
He doesn't have a speech impediment.
This is like his steez.
Yeah, this is his steez and accent, and this is exactly how he talks now as well.
Yeah.
He opens up a Kleenex box,
mm-hmm.
wads up all the Kleenex, tucks it in one cheek, and then does an interview. That's his whole thing. Yeah. Todd doesn't go on stage before he gets three packages of Big League Chew.
Yeah.
It's...
So Todd needs to be taxidermied before he even gets out of bed. Yeah, it's...
And when he Todd, said Todd, yes to that voice...
Okay.
Todd will not... I was just going to make a similar joke about getting dental anesthesia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Devil looks for. And when he said yes to that voice, signed on for a whole lot more than he ever bargained for. So before you find yourself in a similar situation and a voice calls to you in the darkness, think of Al. Or as you may see, you'll have all eternity to think about your mistake too.
So that's the secret. That's the secret sauce, is that the end of this ends with it as practical advice.
Yes.
Like he legitimately wants us to think about this before we get in the situation, because Spawn, who is fictional, mm-hmm. didn't.
Right.
You know,
it's it is a morality play. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Take two. And now Spawn, so turn off your lights.
He's getting really he's so bossy with us.
He's got and a real now, daddy dom energy.
And now Spawn.
Turn off your lights. And get on your knees.
And like that's a that's a pretty good button, actually, you know, and now Spawn, turn off the lights.
He
doesn't repeat it.
No. These aren't written. I cannot stress this enough. They get also, this first one is really good. They get better. The third one is my all-time favorite. But,
all right, here we go.
Second one.
I've got this one called Touch of Evil.
Are you sure you know the difference between good and evil? As you race around trying to put food on the table or pass your exams or make love?
I'm not thinking about the difference in good and evil when I'm making love.
No.
You got me, Todd.
that's the thing.
I try to think about baseball, but silly me.
That's where you've got to. Oh, I mean, well, that's your problem. if you're not trying to be efficient when you're banging it out, come on, man.
Yeah, you just got like it's ice speed rum cutting. I got a TAS in my balls.
But yeah, this is where he is selling his what would Spawn do bracelet.
Yes.
Oh God.
Confident that you could distinguish the forces of light from the forces of evil. I'm Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn. And to me, there's nothing out there in life that is all black or all white. Good always has a germ of evil inside it, and evil just a touch of good.
Okay. So, all right.
Okay.
The wise man said. Yeah.
Real freshman stuff. Real freshman stuff we're working with here.
You idiot. You buffoon. there's no difference between the
yeah. I want more of this good thing.
I really want to know what he thinks is the touch of good in Malbolgia, clown, vindicator, and overkill. Because his philosophy does not seem consistent with his worlds he's created.
He seems to really have blinders on and is super focused on Spawn. And the thing that he is focusing on with Spawn is, though he looks like a monster, in fact, there's a human in there. And this is where my knowledge of Spawn actually drops off. I don't know that he's actually fighting for. I know he's fighting gangsters and stuff.
He fights gangsters and then like evil angels. Mm. Like he fights, and Todd McFarlane in terms of comics, and like I read comics. I like superhero comics. There's a lot of really bad, dumb names. He's one of the worst at it. So you end up with characters like just named Clown. There's a character named Priest.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times they're just named a job.
Yeah.
In his things, like he's got really bad names for his things, but eventually they start being like priest, sentry, protector. Like they end up being like the evil forces of heaven.
Right.
It's real Doom Eternal shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is about as damning as you can get.
Yeah, you don't want to be there, but there's a scene of good inside it.
See, all right.
But take Spawn, an assassin in life, Hell's Own soldier in death, not exactly Boy Scout material. But if you consider he made his choices for love, the love of his country.
For love of his country. Wait a minute.
So this is referencing Spawn's job before he died.
He was a soldier of fortune, secret agent kind of guy.
He's like the comedian from Watchmen.
Okay,
like, it's not good. Like somebody I feel like with a slightly more robust morality who wasn't working on a character that created as a teenager would realize that extrajudicial, murders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily doing them for, like, the people who in Soldier of Fortune are not doing them for the love of their country.
Right.
You know, that doesn't come from a pure place when you sign up to, like, kill the Zapatistas, like, under cover of darkness or whatever.
So you know more about this than I do. So I'm going to lean on you here. Oh, the things he does for love of country. It makes it sound like the stuff that he is doing as Spawn. Is Spawn a DOD asset?
George Soros is actually Spawn. No, I Spawn doesn't actually get involved with the government, as far as I know.
Okay.
Once he's Spawn, this is all about Al Simmons and stuff. And I have to also throw this out there because somebody listening to this is a big Spawn fan. I have never read a Spawn comic.
Okay.
I only know what I've read from like wikis and like lol Spawn things, like just like his Spawn.
Yeah.
You know, like this stuff. Like most of my research about Spawn is inspired by, Todd McFarlane.
Creature.
Locust, every like 6 years, an obsession with Todd McFarlane's weirdness awakening in me.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Consider he made his choices for love, the love of his country and the love of his wife. Well, you begin to see he's a little like you and me. Another poor schmo walking on razor's edge, all hell pushing one way and heaven pushing the other, and him stuck in the middle, trying not to get cut.
And now, it just ends
Is that
there.
How Todd McFarlane sees himself? Like the forces of hell are pushing on him on one side and the forces of heaven, and he's walking on a razor trying not to get cut?
The forces of people who want money for the for the characters they created.
Yeah, and the forces of Neil Gaiman's lawyers. Yeah. And the forces of Todd McFarlane's bank account.
And then the forces of Todd wanting the money, please.
Yeah, the forces of the various estates that are trying to sue him. Like,
oh gosh, but it's empathy, Gary.
Yes. Yeah. Like, he's a little bit like you and me.
I mean, obviously number three here is going to be the kicker.
But the other ones after this are also good, but this one also, just blows my mind.
I'm not even gonna say what I call this one because it ruins the joke. Here we go.
If you had to choose a slow searing ride on Satan's carousel,
hold on,
watching help
a slow searing ride on Satan's carousel.
You know, it's got it's got fucked up. Instead of like a unicorn, it's got a nightmare.
Sure.
You know, instead of an elephant, it has a hellephant.
Sure. This is some live action Vampire the Masquerade players improvising in a park in trench coats energy. Like, if I had to choose, okay, so I got to get the stakes of this. If I have to choose between a slow ride on Satan's carousel.
Yeah, which presumably you don't get off once it starts, if it ever started at all. Yeah,
because it otherwise sounds kind of fun.
Yeah. All right. I mean, it is slow and searing, but it's also a story.
Yeah. And the carousels are kind of fun. It's mild entertainment. It's about the amount of spinning I can handle as an adult with stomach issues. So,
if you had to choose a slow searing ride on Satan's carousel or watching helplessly by as your best friend got it on with your lover.
Enter eternal damnation or being ghost cucked.
Yeah, being super ghost cucked. It's so weird that these two things are presented against each other. What a weird brain came up with that. You know, I think that in this scenario, I would probably choose to have my best friend watch my best friend get on with my lover. Mm-hmm. And that would hurt me really bad.
Oh,
I'm
no,
married.
Both of these.
This guy really loves his wife.
Yeah.
Satan's carousel, slow and searing. If that's actually hell, you know, I don't want to be in hell for eternity.
No.
I think I would prefer to be cuckolded. It might awaken something in me. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Hey, you know, whatever.
You know, it's like a Russian roulette. Like, except for one of the bullets is like, hey, bam, new fun fetish. You know, the other ones are just being miserable and divorced. You know, and then the other bullet is like, hey, this is cool. You know,
I just hearing like a level up sound, but it, like, you get the Fallout perk, but it says new Pornhub tag unlocked. Yeah, like, okay, whatever. All right,
finally, you know.
Yeah. People forgive their significant others for cheating all the time.
It certainly does happen. There's therapy and couples therapy and all kinds of stuff like that. Even if I'm putting myself in like a Walter White mindset, you know, where this is the worst possible thing that could happen and destroys my masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Slow searing ride on Satan's own carousel is pretty rough.
But if Satan made this carousel for himself, might be pretty good.
That'd be my fun to see what Mel Boja likes.
Yeah.
You know, in carousels.
What choice would you make? I'm Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn.
Todd McFarlane created a spot. You really need to like work on your pauses.
It's incredible. I also really like that he reminds us every time. And it's like, I know that, you know, it's a TV show. Maybe you're just catching Spawn episode 3 for the first time.
Yeah.
That's how TV worked back then. You know, but I'm Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now I trust you about this absolutely insane hypothetical you've come up with. You created Spawn.
Todd, you need to learn to speak to the back of the room, dog.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
A crude scenario I've just painted? Possibly.
Sure, dude.
But hell isn't subtle, folks. And it's a situation like this that's hell's little way of showing Spawn that hell isn't just a place, but a state of mind.
Okay.
And fire, while painful, isn't the only way Malboja can burn him. Yes.
Burn them.
It is very much the pork chop sandwiches Fensler film. Sometimes you wake up and then you're on fire.
Well, get the hell out of here, kids.
Yeah, that's more of a Cleveland accent you're rocking with there, but yeah.
I love this specific weird hypothetical is one of the ways that Mel Bolgia likes to show Spawn that there are more than just fire in terms of burning them.
Yeah.
Burning them. That makes me very happy. Like, what a whimsical devil. Like, a devil from the mind of Todd McFarlane is a devil I can believe in.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know how much this explains the accent, because I don't know where he grew up, but Wikipedia is saying Todd McFarlane was born in Calgary.
Okay. It does sound Canadian adjacent to me a little bit. Like Canadian Chicago is what it
sounds like. Yeah, just that kind of north central America kind of thing.
Yeah. But I mean that's where I'm from.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I don't sound like that. Like it is, you have to, something happened.
Yeah.
The only way Mel Bolgia can burn him. Yes, Spawn is learning, but all the while the black tentacles of evil are starting to spread. And as you'll see, hell is alive and well on Earth.
Okay. All right. He's hell through women be cheating. and honestly, here's the other thing. It's not cheating. Al Simmons died and came back as Spawn.
Yeah.
That's grounds for divorce if I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think Spawn came back and got a different social security number, so legally there's no recourse.
Yeah. If you died and came back as Spawn and decided to create like Fuck Deed, mm-hmm. and you know the alternative podcast without me, I would understand, because you would be Spawn.
Yeah,
you get Spawn license, like your Spawn pass.
Do you want to hear the synopsis for the episode that this is the intro for? This is No Rest, No Peace, which aired on May 30th of 1997. Remember, setting up the cuckoldry plotline here. When Tony Twist's hired cyborg hitman, Overtkill, fails to eliminate Spawn, Wynn sends in Jess Chappell to get the job done.
Huh.
Now, Jess Chappell, on a search on the TV Trips character page, there is nothing. Is nothing. Not listed, so not major enough to warrant
no idea.
The very extensive list, actually, of characters on here. All right. This one I've labeled cause and effect. Okay.
Do you believe in cause and effect? Drop a glass, the glass breaks.
No.
Strike a match and a fire starts.
No.
Do the things we do in this life screw you in the one that comes after? I think so.
Okay. Hopefully you think so, because that's the entire premise of the thing you made. I like those first two examples of just like setting up the laws of physics. And then
and then just being like, that's the same thing as there being an afterlife.
Yeah.
And then again, word choice, screws.
Screws.
Spawn's really screwed.
Screws you over.
Yeah, Spawn's been screwed over. I really like Spawn. Like, if I had to describe what happened to Spawn, he got really screwed over.
Ooh, Spawn got a raw deal.
Yeah, they really buffaloed Spawn.
I think so. Spawn's learning that little lesson too. Oh, he'd like to make it all go away somehow. Pull out, hide, sleep it off. But he made his deal with the devil. And now the dominoes are already crashing down.
A little mixing up the metaphor,
a little messy there, Todd. Yeah. I do again the continual presence of relating us to Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like he asks you the question, he goes, "Spawn's learning that lesson too." It has the cadence of like teaching a kid something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're reading a storybook. This is what the Berenstain Bears do. Here's what the Busy Town people do. That's the same thing that happened to you when like you lost your juice box.
Yeah.
You know, like the Busy Town Bear, it's happening to them too. It's like teaching kids about empathy, but it's teaching adults empathy through Spawn.
From a storytelling perspective, you know, leading with this says something. It is, you know, very obviously trying to prime you to understand what to look for in the episode that you are about to watch. Right.
Yes.
However, I would say, again, based on very little knowledge of Spawn, I watched some of these cartoons on the comic or on Toonami back in the day, etc. I would say if that is your goal, if that is the marquee that you're trying to put up, maybe you could put this into the work itself.
It doesn't seem like it needs to be that explained.
yeah.
to me. This should be obvious. And this is, it's also worth noting, this is an adult cartoon.
Yes.
This was one of the first like adult cartoons on, you know, cable. Uh-huh. And the idea here was, this is violent and edgy.
Right. Like,
you should have a driver's license to watch this.
I think that I would prefer the version of Spawn in my mind that is not playing with morality at all. That was, hey, look at this fucked up shit and however the top it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Gary, why did you send me a picture of what appears to be Todd McFarlane kissing Spawn?
I just kind of assumed you might want to see that.
Okay, cool.
I just, you know, like, that's got, it's one of those, like, can I get a picture of Calvin pissing on Hobbes kind of things.
Like, yeah, good avatar material this one is.
Yeah. There's a whole photo shoot of Spawn interacting with or Todd McFarlane interacting with like a Spawn doll in various ways, like staring him down, kissing him, kind of like claiming him like a cat, things like that. I was just Google image searching Todd McFarlane as you do.
He's got nobody to blame but himself and me. I'm Todd McFarlane, and I created Spawn.
This entity that I have implored you to sympathize with. Yeah, no, it's not nothing he did wrong. It's me.
I tortured him.
And I could have stopped.
It's one of the only times he reveals that there's fiction involved, but it's plausible deniability. It does position him as like a In the Mouth of Madness-esque god.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Spawn is just saying they're watching his wife get raw dogged.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'd stop him, but he wrote me this way.
It's
you
it's,
know, like that kind of thing.
It's real, the last two books of the Dark Tower kind of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
I've got this one, number 5, Beautiful Evil.
Would you know the devil if you saw him? Would you know his face, his eyes? Mm-hmm. Would you feel chilled in his presence? Or do you think he's some naked red guy with horns and a goatee and a tail?
I think he looks exactly like Evil Homer.
Yeah, he's a mascot who sells candy cigarettes.
Hey, I know that guy. He's on my ham.
Yeah, it's the ham mascot, the devil.
I'm Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn. Evil is never what or who you expect. Sometimes it's grotesque, sometimes beautiful. Sometimes it's a mobster or a priest. Even
if you think about it, anything could be anything.
Anything could be anything. Sometimes they're mobsters. Sometimes they're priests. I love that morality. And I love how that plays through in Spawn, where mobsters are like the opposite of priests.
Yeah.
And that is why the forces of evil that Spawn fights are mobsters. And then he goes on and fights like Doom Eternal sentries and shit. There's no evil equivalent for him to fight. I also, again, really like what life experience is Todd McFarlane drawing this from, that evil can be fake. And like, you know, like I would love to be proven wrong. And like Spawn is based on a true story, you know,
it happened to me,
but I imagine a girl was mean to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's no way this wasn't just like, somebody cheated on him and he created Spawn, right?
Yeah. It's a real good, you know, sentiment, a real good idea. Like, you can't trust your eyes, right? You know, it's a line from an Acapella River song, evil don't look like anything, right? Sure. You know? Yeah. It's fine. It just a little bit heavy handed here at the start.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Even the ice cream man. All you know.
We shouldn't pause before the ice cream man.
Yeah, good. No, good. Uh-oh, even the ice cream man. Okay.
It's a mobster or a priest. Even the ice cream man. For all you know, I could be true evil. Scary, huh?
Yes, Todd. It is incredibly scary.
Todd, you are going door to door scaring people now.
I need to take 5 here because I'm so spooked.
Yeah.
Most of all, true evil whispers what we want to hear, and when it shows its ugly face, it tells us to do nothing. And that's where we find Spawn, sitting in the shadows doing absolutely nothing.
Sounds like a very fun, exciting episode.
You're making a real good pitch here. Spawn's just there, sorting through his socks, throwing out the ones that got holes.
It's also that was a sentence that started one way, and this is the kind of mistake I make on Twitter all the time, where like I start a sentence and I revise it, but I miss an element of the first draft.
Yeah, you leave those echoes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, evil whispers what we want to hear, That's fine and good. But in the moment of truth or whatever, evil tells us to do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, to do nothing is not often what I want to hear.
Right.
Like, both of those feel like separate ideas that are somehow contained in the same sentence for some reason.
It is setting up a relation or a causality between those. Oh, it tells us, it tells us what we want to hear. Okay. And as a result of that, when it executes or whatever, it tells us to do nothing. Of course I'm going to do nothing. It's giving me what I want. Okay.
Yeah. That makes no sense.
Yeah. It's kind of Mad Libs, and also that's just where it ends. No button on that. Here's Spawn doing nothing.
We can keep the lights on for this one.
All right, and then the final one. So this one's a shorty.
Do you believe the killer should be killed? And if we kill them, do we add to or reduce the evil in this world?
Gonna buy Tata Thesaurus.
Yes.
For this, killers to be killed, and if we kill them,
Do we add to the, okay. Yes. Good. Good intro ethics stuff. Yeah.
I'm Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn. Can you answer the question I've just asked?
Is there a microphone here?
Yeah.
TikTok.
Really, really cute. Almost just said spawning for time. He's spawning for time is what he's doing.
Yeah.
I legitimately I'm going to change my text tone to I'm Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn. After this, what a good little text thing to pop up.
Beautiful.
Spawn has to. As you'll see, it's time for a showdown, and Spawn still has some big choices to make. If he decides right, the battle goes to the good guys. Maybe.
You never can tell. I didn't write this.
Yeah, it's... Well, he doesn't want to give away the game.
True.
You know? It would be the end of the series. Spawn, this lasted for a couple more seasons, and the comic goes on for fucking ever.
If he decides wrong, well, you know the answer to that, don't you? You will.
Hey, Todd, I really need you not to wander off camera right now.
And also, you're setting up this thing as suspense. I'm only going to know the answer to that if he chooses wrong, and I'm about to watch the show. This isn't something that I have watched. You know, I understand this, the purpose of these as a study guide, but it does feel spoilery to me.
It's that is the one that is most directed. It is okay, this is the end of the season. We're drawing to this. It feels less it feels very much less like a,
we stumbled upon a casual. Guide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we stumbled upon Todd McFarlane. Just happened. This is what he's doing anyway.
This is just what he always does.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
It's amazing how little content is in those. You know what it feels like? It really feels like a budget thing. All right, it costs, yes, we do have to build the set or whatever, but building this set and getting McFarlane in here for half a day to do these costs way less than however much, 7 minutes of animation that would have taken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also worth noting that they do have live action intros for the later seasons, but Todd McFarlane's not in them.
Hmm.
Someone involved decided hey, that part's not working out, but they still kept a slow push in on a different castle. We're now in Todd McFarlane's second Ravenloft, and the camera moves through that and kind of looks through the windows and stuff. It starts exterior.
Yeah.
And I love that aesthetic. But I just kept waiting for Todd McFarlane to pop out and just be like, there's the body tied to the tracks, and just like, oh yeah, man.
Now consider, before you, there is one horse-sized Spawn, and behind you, there are 100 duck-sized Spawns.
Spawn-sized horses. I've given you the box from the movie The Box. I really wanted that.
Good morning, Amanda. I would like to play a game.
Just absolutely, God, incredible! What a king! What an absolute king! It's again seems kind of like a dick.
Uh-huh.
In real life, true original. This guy.
So what's funny is it is Schrodinger's earnestness going on here. Not that I doubt how genuine he is, but my reaction to it, It really just depends on the day whether or not this kind of like self-seriousness and just kind of genuine delivery will make me cringe or will make me be like, haha, this rules. Now I'm in a haha, this rules kind of thing.
So, at some point it will feel bad, but it, even when it becomes a cringe thing, it'll be kind of a good cringe because it's extreme enough to me. You know, that like it's extreme enough and weird enough, and it has, you know, something that you and I both like, which are language rhythms, like off language rhythms that I just have an unlimited appetite for.
That is
kind of how I feel about it. Like it is undeniably cringy, just in a very good way.
I really do wish that like shitty internet didn't take the word cringe away from it, because there is like that wince that you get, which is like this is an endurance challenge kind of thing,
but it can be a sublime wince. It can be a really good feeling. And it can also be a bad feeling, right? That's part of the reason why cringe is a frustrating word, is because it doesn't really, it is too wide of a swath of things. Like, this is haha, fuck, I love it. But if somebody were like, do you get the same thing you get out of this than you do from like, you know, something that is has intention behind it? Like, is this as artful and good as Dark Place? No. That's a work of genius. Like, I'm admiring that with an entirely different part of my heart and brain.
Yeah, and also that is making fun of this.
You know, or like not even that. Like, I'm just trying to find something similar. You know, or like those old like Vincent Price intros. Like, we have a VHS tape that is Vincent Price introducing clips from old monster movies.
Holy shit!
It's just a compilation, and it's real good. And like that, I legitimately like. It's funny as well, but it's a different flavor of funny. There's no contempt. You know, it is just like, oh yeah. You know. So there's a scale, I guess, is the point.
There is.
And
it just kind of falls back to, I enjoy what I enjoy. Like, this rules. Yeah. I'm so happy that this got dug back up, because if I ever saw them before, I can't remember if they cut those off on the Toonami re-airings, because we didn't have HBO. If I ever saw them before, I forgot them.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. They're easy to forget. I really love that this aired first on Toonami Japan. So the idea of like, you know, American kids are sitting around watching Dragon Ball. Japanese kids are sitting around watching this. And if they have the intros, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Like, if there are like weird Westaboos who are just like way into this specifically.
That, I mean, like that is a thing. I know that King of the Hill is very popular in Japan. Yeah.
Like, there are, you know, people like the exotic, right? Like, people, you know, when you're a kid, you are drawn to things that are not familiar. Right. Kind of generally, regardless of where you live. It's presented as one being more virtuous than the other a lot of time, but it's not really the case. It's just you get into stuff like that at a certain age.
Yeah.
I love the idea of like kids dealing with Todd McFarlane doing this. Makes me very happy. I hope that they got their entire conception of what Americans are like from these six clips.
Yeah, apparently when you die in America, the devil comes and makes you a deal.
Yeah. If you had a spot of good in you. Or whatever. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Cole, for putting the work into adding that audio and going on this journey with me. It did feel like an abject suffering emergency to me.
Perfectly fine. I had a good time too.
Yeah, it's good shit. Thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate you. If this is your first episode, it's a good one, I think. But other episodes are also good. Listen to those.
Please do, and if you back us, you get even more of them. You get two extra episodes per month. You get a whole other bonus shows like Unfilmable, Bonfireside Chat, and upcoming Real Lich Hours. I forget if we talked about that on this, but later this year we're launching a show about Baldur's Gate 3. Talked about that in depth.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. It's also, I don't know if we mentioned this that often, you also get all the old episodes that are or a bunch of those old episodes that are bonus episodes. You get two extra bonus ones per month, but you get the most recent ones.
Oh yeah.
And you can get the backlog as well.
Yes, it's coming up at like 200.
So it's a lot of content. We appreciate you for listening. Tell your friends, rate and review. And we will see you next time, Cole.
I mean, well, we also have to thank Gwen.
Oh yeah, big producer. Thank you to Gwen. Gwen. I got Todd pilled. I apologize, Gwen.
But until next time, we've been abject suffering, where we're objectively suffering. Wait, I've got other ones. I'm just riffing. I just got kicked out of my improv group because they found another 34-year-old. Another 34-year-old white guy named Nick. So this is really my only comedic outlet. Let me just go off a little here. I'll just load up thesaurus.com. Okay, how about AKA Wretched Adversity? Dejected Discomfort. Okay, last crack of the coconut here. How about We Play Bad Games So Iron Pineapple Doesn't Have To? Please Don't Leave.
That's a very guppy outro. I would put money that's a guppy listener.
Yes.
That's a guppy way to do it.